Gavrilik, who's unmarked as he streaks away into an open goal.
Hit the boundary line.
Oh, the post is broken. Matthews hit it.
Boy, oh boy, wow, wee. He shoots towards goal. What more can you say?
Hello and welcome to the Herald Sun Footy Podcast. I'm Mick Warner, and unfortunately this week, no Mark Robinson, which means we need a medical sub, an emergency medical sub, Oscar McDonald style. Glenn McFarlane, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Michael. Thanks for having me. Does Oscar McDonald come out and kick a couple of goals? He waited so long for the opportunity.
Extraordinary.
He looked good, didn't he? What about the unfortunately we don't have Mark Robinson? What about fortunately we've got Glenn McFarlane?
I'm only
having a lender, Mick. We wish Robbo.
He's fallen ill.
He has, but we wish him all the best.
He tends to go down once a year, the great man.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a long year. You've got to time your run, don't you?
Rather now than in the
We
font.
Wish him all the best anyway, but, and hopefully he's up and firing for the next few days.
What'd you think of round one? I've got to say, I liked the look of the game generally. It looked a bit
Hang on
open.
A minute. You're giving the AFL a bit of a tick here, aren't you?
Yeah, credit where credit's due. However, there's some tinkering that still needs to be done with that artificial man on the mark rule. I like it being described as artificial. KB called it that, and he's right. It's not really – it's like maximatosis. We'll see how it goes with the Rabbits. But the rotations as well was clearly a factor. And round one is tends to be open.
Hmm.
The one thing I hate about that new rule, though, Macca, is the statue on the man on the mark is – the guy's got a shot from outside 50. The man on the mark stays at 45. And the bloke is standing next to him. There was one in the GWS game, the former Collingwood bloke, Keith.
Yeah, Lockie Keith.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, that's just not right.
I couldn't agree more with you on this thing. I think the rule's actually good. I think the rule's quite good. But I couldn't agree more with you on this situation, Mick. It's just wrong, I think, isn't it? The situation where you've got a guy, and Gil came into the press box on
Gil.
He did.
Gil
came
Gardner
in. Not Gil Gardner. No, your friend Gil McLaughlin came into the press box, and David King actually raised this with him on Friday night at the Collingwood Bulldogs game, that it's just not fair if you're a defender and you can't move off your mark, and this guy's just running around and encroaching an extra 10 metres. Yeah. It's just not fair. I think it's got to change.
Will it?
I think a set shot at goal.
Yes, 100%.
I think we need to make that ruling. And this is sounding ridiculous because I'm going to call for a couple of changes to rules already.
Mm.
And we're 1 week into nine matches into a season.
They've brought in a rule.
They've botched that up. No, I think the rule's right. I think the rule's right. I really like it. I love the open style of footy. But this is wrong. And they've got to change this shot at goal
scenario. So what, in between the arcs?
Yep.
You have to statue up.
I think so.
And then inside 50, you don't.
I think so. I think that's fair because it's not fair on the defender, I think. And we want goals. Of course
we want goals.
But we want
that's
fairness.
That's Mickey Mouse, isn't it?
Is it not Mickey Mouse that you're a statue anyway?
Well, this is why artificial might be. It did look open, but is it a bit stupid to have. And rotations are a factor. But anyway, the jury's out on that one.
Mm.
But what about the medical sub?
This is a dog's breakfast. I agree with Mark Robinson completely on this.
It's unlike you two to agree.
No, we're good friends. We agree. What are you getting at? Gee, this is harsh. No, I think this is. This has got whiskers all over it. This rule.
Gary Hocking.
Gary Hocking all over it. He wouldn't have been a very good sub. I think he would have just get him out there in the middle of it. Well, whiskers. He should be back in footy too. Whiskers. I wish he was.
Was it Collingwood? Wasn't he?
He was, and then COVID hit.
Right.
So then he's no longer at Collingwood.
We'll get on to Collingwood.
We will. Do we have to? No. Just on that, let's talk about the medical
debacle.
It was hastily arranged. The coaches pushed it through. Not all the coaches, mind you. One bloke who I really respect is Luke Beveridge.
I love that bloke.
Because we respect him for a lot of reasons. But you know what? He has a crack.
Yeah, he says what he thinks.
He says what he thinks.
He's not 100%. Subservient to
Correct. Everyone
at AFL House.
And he's unpredictable. And I think
and
that's
he's got a premiership
really good.
Medallion.
Well, there's not many that got premiership medallions. But with that, what they, you know, they've obviously brought it in for a reason. If it had been a concussion.
What was the reason?
Well, the reason was the pressure from the coaches, quite clearly. And we saw that at Steve Hocking's press conference in the week leading up to it. But I could have dealt with it being a concussion sub, given the importance of concussion. I could have dealt with it in a lot of ways just being the pure sub. If they were thinking about coaches are worried about, you know, exhaustion and fatigue and coming back from a shortened season with COVID, I could have dealt with it being a five man on the bench or a sub. And I could also deal with the fact that if a player is injured, personally, I think he's got to miss the next week. I don't care what happens. There should be a 12-day turnaround that you can't play.
It was harsh on Vlosten, wasn't it? Everyone's saying that he's faking it and you know, he couldn't run. And I'll tell you, is if you're going to take Nick Vlosten off anyway.
I was going to say, there's plenty of people you take off before Nick Vlosten.
But in a, if you're trying to reduce rotations and introduce fatigue, which, as we know, governs the game, that, that will spread the field. Why do you then introduce another player? Doesn't it fly in the face of that philosophy?
It does. I'm not totally opposed to it. As I say, from a medical perspective, in terms of concussion, I'm not opposed to it. But what I worry about is we're going to talk all year. Already there's three players who potentially could play round two after being subbed out of round one. This is going to be all year, Mick. Unless we do something about it.
They don't change their mind, though.
Well, I think they should. I think they should rule that the person that comes off is automatically can't play the next week. I just think that takes away any of the... and I'm not having a... Don't get me wrong. I'm not having a crack at Geelong, North Melbourne or Richmond.
Rule. If the guy's fit, he can play football, Macca. Stop bringing in more rules to fix up crap rules.
Let's look at it.
Just get rid of the crap rule in the first place.
If we get rid of the crap rules, we'd be getting rid of a lot of them, wouldn't we, to be honest? But I'm not... And again, I'm not having a go at Geelong with Sam Menegola. Like, they thought he was seriously injured. Yeah. Vlosten, they thought he was seriously injured. And Aiden Corr, well, they thought there's a chance that he won't play. But... Unfortunately,
you said it best, Macca. Dog's breakfast.
Dog's breakfast.
Let's move on to the other dog's breakfast.
Oh no,
Collingwood.
What dog's breakfast?
Now I went to that game and was expecting round one to see some energy, some to Treloar at the opening bounce, for example. I just expected to see it was a Treloar Cup. We built it up.
Are you serious? You're not going to be one of the. You're not the next Kane Corns who's going to have a crack at Tyler Brown, who's a kid.
No, I'm not having a go. I'll tell you what happened.
Yeah.
The Collingwood players don't agree with Treloar's exit. So they had no desire.
That's not what the club told us. The top office.
Oh, yeah. Well, on that, I did hear that, you know, often in post match losses, the playing group would often say, you know, Adam, that was your man, but that's a mature discussion that you have.
Absolutely.
I don't think that means let's sack him and pay $300,000 of his wage. Now, I felt they didn't get into Treloar because they actually didn't have the stomach for it.
And maybe that's right. And that says a fair bit, doesn't it? I think Collingwood, we know, absolutely botched the trade period. Like, I think the one thing you don't want from your football club, whether you barrack for them or not, you don't want to be spun a line. And I think Collingwood supporters were spun a line. Maybe the players
about five
were spun
lines.
A line. Well, they were. And
they told Ned Guy to go out.
I felt sorry for Ned Guy.
Ned just did what he was told. And then the next day, Eddie and Walsh said, oh, that's not going to work, so we'll just say it this way.
Well, I think and even Jeff Walsh didn't handle it as well as he could in his perspective. It took until Mark Anderson came out when he realised the actual fury. I think it was on your radio station, Mick, the actual fury of the Collingwood supporters. I've never seen them as angry about something as in their life.
And on that, when Treloar got that ball late in the last quarter and the Collingwood supporters cheered him, I actually felt that was the Collingwood supporters saying as well, you know what, we actually also think that you were treated appallingly.
And
the only people that think is the coach who keeps banging on about the personal versus the professional and, you know, a few of those other top office people. But Collingwood looked to me like they're dysfunctional. No, they look...
They looked a little bit dysfunctional, let's be honest.
But just their heart's not in it.
Yeah, I don't know about that or whether they're not good enough.
Well, what about Grundy? I mean, I know round one, but he just didn't look... He won the hit-outs, by the way. He won 35 to...
Yeah, that's just,
you know,
one stat. Yeah.
No, but it's his main stat, isn't it? But beyond that, when the ball... He just didn't look to have the venom in him.
No, he didn't, in a sense. And he is up against a guy who has got plenty of venom
in
him.
What a great pickup.
It was a fantastic... This could be... Like, we always talk about all the great pickups and Joe Danaher and Jeremy Cameron. At the end of this year, this Stephen Martin pickup... Yeah. And I know he's not young...
He
does look after his body, and he's intent on playing a couple of years to come. And the Bulldogs have been chasing him for a long time. I think he's a great pickup.
Absolutely. And English should be loving it.
Well, we saw a different Tim English, didn't we, against Brodie Grundy. Brodie Grundy was coming off three successive best of fields against the Bulldogs.
And then he had help.
Absolutely. And that was the key. He had help and a great great decision from the Bulldogs to go out and get Steph Martin when the Lions thought he was probably gone.
Yeah.
But back to Collingwood. Yeah, Grundy, I'd give him
of course.
3-on-1.
I'm just saying, I was talking about the body language.
Yeah, it wasn't
great. They just looked flat.
Yeah,
they were the worst
great.
Losers of the round for me.
Yeah, I think they lost a bit. And you think about the score, it was 16 points. It felt like 36 points, I thought, didn't you?
Yeah.
And we always blame that forward line. They're not going to win many goals. I did a big deep dive on through the week after the weekend, and I was basically said a couple of things. You're not going to win many games with 7 goals. That's not going to happen. Not in 2021 footy. Jordan Ngoi, he needs a lift, doesn't he? I know we're talking round one.
Forward.
I think he's got to play forward.
Yeah.
They need him playing forward.
In a Dusty role.
They need. Well, you know what I'm saying, and I did say this on the weekend. We've got to stop comparing this bloke to Dusty.
Oh.
Because
I meant the role.
No, I know what you mean, but everyone says, oh, he's got Dusty-like qualities. We want to see it on a consistent basis.
Well, in that grand final,
he
was phenomenal that day.
Well, particularly that final series is terrific, and that was when he was really hungry. And again, we're round one, but I've
How
got...
How old is he?
He's 25.
He's
about
young.
To play his 100th game. So, but I went back and I looked at Dusty's figures at his 100th game. And Dusty was averaging 7 disposals more, a goal extra or more.
Right. But Dusty's, best footy was after his 100th, I would have assumed.
It was, but gee, I don't underrate what he did.
Brownlow, well,
I sort of can't remember some of that.
2017, it's probably about 80 games away. Anyway.
I'm only joking.
But look, it's round one.
There's a big watch on Collingwood because we know the coach comes out of contract at the end of the year. They don't have a full-time president at the moment.
They've got two.
They're trying to work out what's going on.
They're in a bit of disarray, aren't they?
Well, I think they need to get their bike really early because they've got a very, very big game this week.
Jeff Brown would be a good president for Collingwood.
I think he'd be an excellent president for Collingwood.
Whether he can get him or not.
Well, I don't know. It was a bit like you never say never.
To be honest.
Well, I think that's more his go than being a... than being a president of a footy club, to
There's
be honest.
There's two commission spots up for grabs. Did you know that? Kim Williams and Jason Ball resigned.
Yes.
So
Andrew Ireland, any chance?
Well,
there?
He should be.
Yeah, I think
what
he
they
should.
Need is club
correct
people who know.
We're on the same page here, you and
we
I.
We always
well,
are. This is why the Gold Coast Suns were such a debacle, because the AFL didn't know about how to run a football club. What you need is people like, Richard Collis or Andrew Ireland, Peter Gordon.
Peter Gordon would be fantastic. He'd be an outstanding person.
And
Eddie, let's be honest, Eddie would have been, other than this situation that it's
Eddie,
not going to happen now, but I think Peter Gordon would be, and he loves his footy. So.
But Jeff Brown, I think, would be terrific. But anyway, tell me about your thoughts on Chris Scott said that, he hadn't seen the incident with Dangerfield, but he thought that he was just protecting himself or it was a collision. What have you made of the Dangerfield? This is currently 12:09 PM on Tuesday. The big case is tonight, and he will go.
Absolutely.
But what have you made of the whole Dangerfield bump?
To be honest, I'm pretty strong on this. You lose the accidental tag whenever you try to bump, and that's if there's a head collision then. If there's no head collision...
Have you seen the down-the-ground footage?
I have. I can't believe him up. Absolutely. So I've got
20 metres.
And I think what we're doing is we're talking about Patrick Dangerfield. Who we should be talking about is Jake Kelly. That's who we should be talking about. He's going to miss a period of football. He's got a broken nose. We don't want to see that in the game. Let's be honest. Patrick Dangerfield is a ball player. I've got no issue with the way he plays the game. Players have been taught to do that. We've got to untrain him.
He should have got done in the grand final. He shouldn't have been playing.
He was lucky to get through. Like, he was lucky. There you go. You got that Richmond.
So he's...
you blokes, you win a premiership and you still want guys rubbed out. Fair dinkum, you're greedy.
There was, he got...
Yeah.
He got
but in this one...
Boston, what I'm saying is he's got two blokes in 2 weeks.
I can't see... I mean, I can see what Danger's trying to do. He's trying to get his way out of it. Chris Scott's trying to...
Tony Shaw had a really good theory on it.
Yeah.
And he said that your man, Tony...
Yeah, makes a lot of sense.
He thought that he's... In the play before, he turned it over and he was a bit down on himself and he sort of wanted to impact the play and make a statement, and he just went a little bit too far and smashed Will Kelly's face with a
Jake
head.
Kelly,
it was an accident, by the way.
Yeah.
But you have to take responsibility for the accident, don't you?
Correct.
Is it easy for us, though, sitting here in a padded cell doing a podcast
There's a
to
split
talk
second.
About what happens on a footy
field? But players make split seconds decisions, some good, mostly good, some bad in that time.
Yeah.
That's just part of the game. So,
which is why he got off the Vlaston one in the grand
correct,
final,
correct.
By the way, because you couldn't really...
No. But in this situation, like, as I say, you lose the accidental, and it was accidental. He didn't mean anything by it. We know that. But under the letter of the law now, and as it should be, he needs to be suspended for a period of time.
Yeah, he does. Now, Dustin Martin.
Oh, we're going to move on. Back to Richmond again.
Now, Who does he play for again?
He
plays for the Tigers. Now, there's a thing called recency bias,
yep,
which I think we've all got at the moment. Everyone's saying,
yeah, he's
better
than... that with a lot of things, don't they?
B's better than Lee Matthews and all that. But when, right now, or in your time in football, people who aren't legends or aren't in the Hall of Fame because they're still playing, who do you reckon is going to be the, you know, is Dusty a legend, for example?
He will end up being a legend. I've got absolutely no doubt. He's 30 years of age. Is that right?
No, he's 29.
He's about to turn 30.
I know you'd like him to.
No, but he's about 39. To turn 30.
Yeah, he's about to be.
He's about to turn 30.
One-year-old's about to be two as well.
Well, he's about to turn 30. His record is extraordinary. I never thought we'd ever see a person win three Norm Smiths who's probably, if you're framing a market now, you'd probably make him $8 now to win the 2021 Norm Smith. So Would you take that?
With you, I would.
I'm not a good payer. Don't worry about that. He's a legend for sure. There's plenty of legends that need to come. I think he is. Yeah. I think he's done enough already.
What does he
need to do? So if you're a Melbourne supporter, you're thinking, my goodness me, pick three.
Who was it? McMahon for Richmond.
Jordan McMahon.
Jordan McMahon. Mm. So in the tanking year,
yep,
he lines one up from, remember the absolute schmozzle. He gets the shot. I think Tambling kicked it to him. And another whipping boy, Tambling, he gets it to him and he has the shot, goes through, Richmond win, and it meant that Melbourne finished last and it meant that they got the first two picks. Scully, Trengove.
Yep.
D. Martin goes at pick three and history changes.
Yeah, oh, completely. Your clubs can change.
So like, Jordan McMahon deserves a statue.
He probably does,
because he did it.
I never thought you'd ever say
he
that.
He was the highest paid VFL player in history that year.
Yeah.
But he delivered, Macca.
He did. So with that, like looking at, there's plenty of guys who deserve to be legends. There's no doubt from my era, there's plenty. But of the current stock of players, Dustin Martin will be a legend, I have no doubt. I think Lance Franklin will be a legend. I have no doubt about that. Recently retired Gary Ablett Jr. deserves to be a legend. There's a couple that are sort of on the borderline cusp that... That'd be it,
wouldn't it?
Yeah, probably. I mean, we don't know what Nat Fyfe's going to do for the rest of his career.
Yeah, if he won a third Brownlow.
If he won a third Brownlow, I think he's probably pushing there. My bias a little. I don't think he gets in, Scott Pendlebury. He's certainly in a Hall of Famer. I'm just trying to be smart aleck here and throw in a Collingwood person.
He's obviously a Hall of Fame.
He's a Hall of... That was just a joke for you, but I think he's... He's the one I've got written there, Luke Hodge. What do you do with Luke Hodge?
Not quite
at this stage.
He did win two norms.
He did win two norms, and you look at, you dismiss Scott Pendlebury there, five best.
Oh,
that's
a legend.
Five
There's
best
only...
and fairest, Norm Smith medal, third in a Brownlow, second in a. I'm only joking there. But I reckon of the current
one
crop,
of the best players I've seen, Scott Pendlebury. But
yeah, one of the current
There's only
crop,
20 out there in history.
There's not many.
27 maybe.
Yeah, there's not many. I think there's only about 15 alive or something like that. But of the current crop, and I was only being slightly facetious with Scott Pendlebury. He's a certain Hall of Famer, Scott Pendlebury, no doubt.
Absolutely.
But Lance Franklin.
Is he still your best player, Pendles, or more?
No, Darcy Moore's Collingwood's best player, I think.
Yeah.
I think for sure. And certainly I think Dusty's a legend, isn't he? How many Richmond legends? Geez, he's in, forget about that. He's in the
Royce.
Conversation soon to be amongst, well, he's already amongst Richmond's best players, but he's gaining ground
these
legends.
This year, Macca.
Because it's all those boxing sessions he's been doing. Mick McGowan's telling me how many boxing sessions he's been
boxing's
doing.
Boxing's the key.
Yeah,
we should get into boxing.
I think you'd be better at it than me.
I think so.
I did go to a government school that was pretty rough, but I was lucky I had a few people who looked after me. A few people looked after me.
Now, let's talk about crowds. We're hearing they're going to get back to 75,000.
They're back.
They are back.
Yep.
So that, why wasn't they last week, by the way, with the unfurling of those flags? But I digress. 75,000. However, where were the North Melbourne and the Melbourne supporters? 18 months without footy.
Yeah.
Mate, I heard one argument that people are still, you know, a bit nervous about going out in public.
Do you believe that still? I don't.
Well, I'm not.
You've been going out in public.
But
sort of for a while.
Where were they?
Yeah, that was a real concerning thing. And Gary Pert initially a few weeks ago was talking about 40 to 50,000 for that game. I don't know that it was ever going to be at that level, but to get 21 or 23 around
21.
That's a really poor crowd. And the North Melbourne one, I cannot understand. New coach, new players. That was around the 13? Was it around the 13 bracket? Like, yep. I don't... And I look at it, and Melbourne supporters cop a bit of a bum rap sometimes. Probably rightly so in some areas, but there are some really passionate ones. North supporters, they're absolutely passionate, rusted on. I cannot understand how they got that crowd there on the weekend.
It's about your brand, though, isn't it? Like, both of those brands at the moment are not sexy.
No, probably
true. Certainly not for us who don't barrack for them, but for the, even their own supporters are turning off. Mm. You have to say it's only round one. But I remember when Glenn Bartlett got the presidency of Melbourne. I think Demetriou got him in there. and they also got Pert in there, the AFL, because, you know, the AFL often...
They get Goodwin in there too, did they?
No, they didn't. Roosie got Goodwin in there in the transfer of power arrangement. But Glenn Bartlett said that he was going to make Melbourne such a big brand that people would be wearing Melbourne caps a la Boston Red Sox, you know, the red and blue.
I do.
Through Beijing, you know, that Melbourne would become this global brand. And they've only got 21,000 to their game. Now, I'm not having a go. I love Melbourne supporters. I want them to feel the joy one day. They're probably the most, you know, denied supporter group.
That and St Kilda.
And apart from St Kilda, but at least they got to the grand finals recently.
But what is
going to happen to Melbourne? How do they... I've got the theory, and I bring it up every time. They need a home ground, a training base.
Absolutely. There's no question about
soul.
That. They do need a soul, and that's something that the club's trying to address, but they're basically saying...
How hard can it be?
Well, they're basically saying that COVID has slowed everything up in terms of that. But we've been waiting for how long for a home base for Melbourne Footy Club?
How long? You're a historian?
I'm a historian.
They
were at the Junction for a number of period, you know, for a period of time.
Why didn't they stay at the Junction?
But you look at North. North's got that. North's got a beautiful home base, and they've got that. Melbourne desperately needs that home training facility where you can actually connect with your footy club.
But with all due respect to North Melbourne, Melbourne are one of the biggest. They're the oldest footy club. They were one of the biggest.
They're certainly the oldest.
But they've still got a massive supporter base. When Melbourne are up and running, the members roar. But it's got this unique...
It is, but I find it indictment when they're up and running. I think the beauty of you following your footy club, some of my best times, maybe following my club when I was a kid, was when they were actually garbage. And you're watching these young kids come through leading into 1990 and the like. It's, you know, we haven't had a lot of success since then. So
I don't know. I just think that Melbourne needs some leadership to really say, hey, we've had enough of this crap. Now, it was a good win. You know, they're looking like they'll get it together, but they're just... I'm just disappointed at a crowd like that.
Yeah. Where are you at with the North Melbourne and the pressure on North Melbourne, the Tasmanian talk?
Well, I thought it was interesting, fascinating, political, strategic that the AFL announced late on Friday night that Colin Carter was going to do an independent assessment of a business case into the 19th licence in Tasmania. And you've been all over the Tassie story. That really takes the air out of the tyres, doesn't it? Because it means he's not going to report for 12 months, Macca. Or, sorry, I don't know when he's going to report, but I imagine it won't be this season. Where does that leave Peter Goodwin, the Tasmanian Premier, and the Tasmanian...
Yeah, it's fascinating because, like Jeff's already said, Jeff Kennett has already said that unless Hawthorn know what they're doing by mid-year, by sort of 30th of June... they won't even enter in any discussions about potentially, doing a contract with the Tassie government to play games down there next year, which means we might have no games in Tassie in 2022, which I think is really sad.
You think that'll happen?
Hope not. I hope it doesn't happen because we really want, I want to see a Tasmanian team in there. I don't want to see a North Melbourne team go down there. I definitely don't. I think North's a great part of this city and I've got a lot of time for North Melbourne as a club.
We never want to see the Fitzroy.
No, because that is still makes me angry to this day, Fitzroy.
Absolutely. But turn up.
Turn up. That's a good point.
They just don't have that because maybe they... Yeah, I don't know.
Turn up is a really... But they've got bigger than the crowd that turned up. They need to start turning
financially up. They're solvent too, so you can't...
Well, you can't. You look at St Kilda, have got, $13.8 million in debt aiming to get it
they
down.
They get more...
They do. They get $16 million. They're second behind the Gold Coast in terms of distribution.
Yeah. Macca, we've got to take a break. We'll come straight back. Well, as we said, it was a very enjoyable first round of football. The Tigers, you'd have to say, look as though, injury aside, they'll be there again when the whips are cracking. Who do you see you know, Geelong and Brisbane stumbled. It's only round one, but you never want to go 0-2, by the way. I don't know what the stats are. But
not good.
If you go 0-2, who did you think came out of the weekend as a bona fide premiership contender?
Well, there are a couple. Richmond go without saying because they're just there, aren't they? So, and I've put a bit of a hold on Geelong and Brisbane. I just want to wait and see. I think Geelong will bounce back. Don't know about Brisbane. Got a few little issues with their attitude. I mean, they were terrible, I thought, in the pre-season game, and their attitude wasn't great against the Swans. But probably the ones that I like.
They've been sort of... Robbo wrote an interesting piece. And then Derms. Did you hear Derms' commentary during the game? He was...
Well, he's scathing,
wasn't
he?
He was.
And I think you'll find that Mick McGowan's been very scathing of him as well, with a few little things here and there with his column last week. Probably, Mick, I reckon the ones that jumped out to me, I really like the look of Port Adelaide. I know it was against North Melbourne, and I know they took a while to get going, but if you looked at two areas they needed to improve, they certainly needed a key back. And Alir, if he stands up, could be one of the recruits of the year.
I always thought he was a gun at Sydney.
I think they were worried about his attitude at Sydney. Sometimes he would come and go in terms of his application to training and stuff like that. But I think they were able to turn it around. So I'm surprised they let him
that
go.
Swans will get it. They look pretty Swans good look too. So good. Maybe it's a win.
Yeah, and Fantasia obviously is going to help.
Did they get anything for Alir, sorry?
They did. I can't remember.
It was a trade, was it?
It was a trade, right. Yeah. But I think it was a good thing. The one that jumps out at me a little bit, two ones actually jump out, if that makes sense. Two ones, two twos it should be. Western Bulldogs looked really good. I know they've got a few little issues that...
Good to watch, aren't
they? They're great to watch.
How good is the bloke with the mullet?
Bailey Smith. He's a great kid,
He might be my favourite player.
He is a great kid, great attitude.
I just want William and Charlie to play like him.
Maybe
not with the mullet.
How old do you reckon he is?
21.
He's 20. Like, 20. As a midfielder, how good is he?
Oh, no, he's...
So I love the way they play. I think Treloar will compliment them. I think Steph Martin absolutely will. Their kids are good.
Yep. When are they going to unroll their number
one? Not this week. No Mara this week. Kick 5 goals against Collingwood.
They're really going to hold him back.
Yep.
It's not a bad strategy.
I think it's a good
honest.
Strategy. They play West Coast. I think it's a good strategy. And just make him earn his spot. I think it's a good strategy. The other one is St Kilda. Like,
gutsy win, wasn't
gutsy
it?
Win.
I picked the Giants.
It was a really gutsy win.
With all those outs,
they probably had 8 guys out, Mick. To be honest,
they're going
to
be there.
I think they're going
to
be there
on that next shelf now for me. I think Richmond, West Coast, Port Adelaide.
Are you buying the West Coast? Are you?
They're just the West Coast Eagles, mate. They're the big bad West. They've got plenty of talent,
and they'll play a lot at home this year. If COVID doesn't take over.
Dom Sheed, by the way, your mate who broke your heart.
Who's he? I can't remember. He's seared into my brain.
So they'll be there. And then Geelong and Brisbane, obviously, you can't judge them. But
no, I think
this is not my area, but people saying the new statue rule doesn't help Geelong.
Yeah, I've seen a few people mention that. I just want a bit more time to see with Geelong. I think theirs is going to be, I think they'll sort of peak at the right time, and it just looked off, didn't they? Mind you, Adelaide,
that's
looked a completely different Adelaide.
Well, we should all apologise to Matthew Nicks. I know Robbo asked me the other day whether he'd survive, and I said, well, usually that crisis coach doesn't, but that was a brilliant win.
Ah, it was a fantastic win, and Taylor Walker, honestly, I've given him a bit over the last 12 months and thought he's gone as a player. He was almost the most inspirational player for his team over the weekend, bar Dusty.
Yeah, the old round one. Now tell me, 0-2, Carlton, Collingwood. The Pies are going to have, because Carlton, you know, they lost, but they clearly are on a good train, on a comeback train. Carlton, where they're going. I like what they're cooking.
I smell what the Blues are cooking. That went well, didn't it? So, it's a huge game in terms of pressure, isn't it? On particularly 75,000
allowed.
Well, I think I'm going to tip Collingwood
Thursday
to win
night.
It.
You are
by a point. By a point.
Geez, they'd want to improve markedly on.
I think they've been stung by what happened over the weekend. I think we'd hope they'd get that midfield sorted and certainly the forward line sorted.
I reckon the Blues they'll smash you.
I knew you'd say that. You hate Collingwood. You
used
Didn't you used to barrack for Collingwood?
You're joking.
This is public now. This is going under. Did you used to
barrack
for Collingwood?
I came from a Collingwood family.
Have you got
my
Collingwood blood in your...
Thelma's brother played for Collingwood.
Oh, he was a good player too.
And they tried to get me to... And I was like, you got to be joking.
You may have made the right call.
And that was the year.
In 2021, you might have made the right call.
Well, I didn't think it for 37 years.
But what about the other game?
Nice try, Macca.
Think about the other game.
Well, you were Collingwood supporter, by the way.
Well, my grandfather played 5 premierships when they used to win flags. When they used to win flags.
Both of our grandfathers.
Exactly. See, that's why you should be...
No.
That's why I look very sad having followed them all these years. But the other game, I reckon, I'm fascinated to see whether you think Brisbane, staring down the barrel of 0-2 again, can beat Geelong at Geelong.
I've no idea in that one. I'm going down to that game, actually.
No idea. I would have thought you would have just jumped out and said Geelong.
No. Well, they're going to have no Patrick Dangerfield. Jeremy Cameron
no
will
Jeremy
play,
Cameron.
I would have thought.
No, Jeremy.
He's not playing.
No, he's not playing. He'll be out for a few more weeks.
Wow.
For a few more weeks.
And Brisbane have been slaughtered.
Sam Manigault, a line ball.
They've been slaughtered by Geelong their last two, and that preliminary final was an insipid performance, and surely they'd be smarting Brisbane, and surely Chris Fagan will be saying to them this week, they've been telling us we're soft, and then you served up that against Sydney, who, by the way, I don't know...
How good do they look?
If if you're in the share market, but...
That's a very good
They're
investment.
Sort of Fortescue about 10 years ago.
They are.
Get on.
Yeah, Afterpay... 5 years ago, really, aren't they? So when you look at, I don't even know if Afterpay was around 5 years ago, but they look sensational. Facebook at Harvard, yes. Imagine getting in on that. Anyway,
Who's the guy who sold Apple?
Oh, that's disappointing. Like, I'm
not
sure.
He got $1,000 or something.
Yeah. Wonder what he did with that $1,000.
Well,
not good.
Probably turned into about 500 billion. So.
No, exactly. No, but I think.
So they'll be smarting.
I think Geelong will win that.
You think Geelong?
Yeah, and that means Brisbane 0-2, Carlton 0-2.
Anything else take your fancy, Macca?
In terms of the weekend,
anything you want to
so
talk
many
about?
Good games on the weekend to talk about. No, you're right. You picked the right one in Bailey Smith. But the one that. I'm just looking at Essendon and where you
What'd
see
you think
Essendon.
Of that game? That was.
I watched
the
it.
Hawks. I was. Did you tip
the Hawks? No, because I won't say his name, but a Hawthorn great
now he's
said
Crawl.
To me, no, I'm not saying his name, said to me on Wednesday afternoon, do not tip Hawthorn. So I went, okay, I'll cross out the Hawthorn
he
thing.
He said
that,
did he?
I'm not saying it was Shane. It was a Crawford. I know a lot of Hawthorn
well,
people.
We've got his horse racing tips over the years.
A lot
I'm
of
not
Hawthorn
surprised.
Said, I think you should tip Essendon. And at halftime, seriously, you know what? I shouldn't laugh because I go through a lot of this as well. But the early tweet... At halftime from Essendon supporters.
Oh, what was...
The early tweets
what
were
was
like,
it?
This
we're
is
back.
The style we want to play. This is where we are. And then, bang. And it was painful to watch.
I enjoyed it having tipped Hawthorn.
No,
but
I did not.
Hawthorn are nowhere near as bad as people are saying, Macca. I'm telling you, they have a reasonable list. And there's exciting kids.
Yeah, it's funny. I wasn't
Can't
sure
look at CJ
about
and
how
speed.
Good is CJ?
Look, Hawthorn are coached by... A very, very good coach. One of the greatest coaches. They have a very deep... they don't have a deep list.
No, but
they've got some kids.
They
have some quality there.
Yeah.
And, Will Day and these blokes, they could make the eight, Macca. They
that
made
would be
top
a great
four
coaching
not that
effort.
Long ago.
That would be a huge coaching
Everyone was
effort.
Saying they were going to go last.
Does he stay, do you think?
Well, it depends how the trajectory goes this year, but...
Well, it was a good start because Jeff looked very down. The cameras went to Jeff at halftime and he had the rug around him, but he wasn't very happy.
He's going for the Liberal Party.
He is.
You being a staunch conservative.
You know that's not true. I thought you were going to say a staunch communist at one stage. So.
That's what I was thinking.
We do come from different parts of the political stratagem, but we don't get into that. But but Jeff, how would he go with as
I think
balancing
be, I
the
think,
two? And which is the more
fantastic.
Important role?
The Hawthorn's
of
far,
course
far,
far
more important. But I think he could reinvigorate the... look, another one. He was asked to run the Melbourne Football Club as president.
No, was he asked or did he put his hand up?
No, he was asked.
You sure?
Yeah, 100% by people who
were
involved.
He did put his hand up to have a crack.
Yeah, because I think, I'm not sure who asked him, but I knew that I think Alan Stockdale and these guys were involved.
He would have been good because whatever you say about Jeff, he always answers his phone.
They'd have a home.
He's always accessible.
He
gets the job done.
And
you might not agree with
Glenn
his politics.
Glenn Bartlett got the job. And Glenn, you need to get the job done, mate.
Glenn Bartlett needs, not me or Glenn Bartlett?
Glenn Bartlett and Melbourne.
What about Essendon, though?
I went out to dinner with some Melbourne supporters over Christmas, and you could just see, for God's sake, will someone at that club please bring Melbourne back to life.
Because we sort of forget, and I wasn't around at the time, but people, like you think about 50s and 60s, Melbourne was the club, the football club.
Ivor Warren Smith.
Hassaman, I saw Hassaman Ron the other
Barassi.
Day. Ron Barassi, the great
Robbie
man.
Robbie Flower.
So we're just on Essendon. What do? Are we just going to
we
park the conversation
coach stays
for a while?
In the box.
Does he sit on the bench? Should he sit on the bench?
If you're going to sit on the bench, now this is outside my rope, my
You've
lane.
You've coached before, haven't you?
No, I haven't. You have?
I have, not very successfully, but
you got to be in the box, and if you're not, you got to be on the ground with headphones on.
Were you surprised that he didn't have the headphones on?
I only saw the shots of it, so it could have been taken out of context. But look, Essendon, you know, they're going to be slightly better, but I don't think they're going to set the world on fire, do you?
No, I think I'm with you. Bottom five. But when they play, you know, fast attacking footy, they were pretty intoxicating in that second quarter. They were great to watch.
Yep.
And then it just fell apart. All their systems fell apart. And, you know, they weren't very accountable, that midfield. We've spoken about that before. You know, I think they'll be okay. Fascinating question of whether you think Hawthorn's ahead of them or Essendon.
Around the same time. I'd trust Hawthorn more is what I'm saying to you.
I trust Sydney a lot more than both of them.
Macca, I think that's all we've got time for this week. You've been an absolutely sensational medical sub, Oscar McDonald-ish.
Actually, I can't play next week.
Well, you might, because sometimes Robbo goes down for 2 weeks. But what about that, just to finish on a fiasco, the kid at Hawthorn, I don't know his name, but he debuted.
Did someone say KFC?
And he didn't get on the ground, and yet he got to sing the song, and he's credited with playing a game. And if this happens in a grand final... Yep. You know, you might have a situation where I'm just trying to think of a name. You know,
it has happened. Yeah,
might be this medical sub and be a premiership player.
It has happened in the past.
What has?
It has happened in the past where a player is sat on a bench all through a grand final.
Back in the 20s, so it was the 80s.
Yeah, yeah, when there was 19 and 20th man. So it was only 1977 that you could bring an interchange
on.
That's not a bad
retort.
It actually has happened, but I agree with you. I don't like it. I really don't like it.
In this modern era, you should take part in the game.
I think that we don't need to change too many rules, but we bring in, you can't have a debutant. I know it sounds stupid, but I don't like having debutants do that.
All right, Macca, thanks for subbing yourself in. And we will be back next week on the Herald Sun Footy Podcast.